Holla holla everyone, and welcome to another edition of Sports from the Six. We got a packed house for you, a full booth. It's like Christmas time for sports fans around here. The NBA draft, the NHL draft. As always, pleased to be joined by Dwayne Turner. Hey, the body, what's going on?
Not too much, buddy. Glad to be here with you guys.
Flip Livingstone, mister, I'm going to be on vacation in 24 hours.
Boys, just be happy you're getting Greek boy. Debts are being paid today. It's a good day.
Debts are being paid. And speaking of another one paying it off, Stacy Deshaun.
Uh-oh.
What's going on, girl? How you doing?
Good. Good to be back on air with you boys.
Yeah. Draft day. Johnny Manziel. 5 years later, how am I the man still?
Guys, a special time last night for the new class of the NBA. We had the NBA draft going from the Barclays Center down in Brooklyn. It was an exciting night, to say the least.
Definitely. Dwayne, were you as excited as us, pal?
You know what? I thought that we were going to see a few more trades, but you know what?
Agreed.
I'm still glad we got to see all these young players get in the draft, and I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah, I was actually also impressed with the coverage of the draft. I know we talked about the NFL draft and how, you know, it's a spectacle. And I found that the NBA draft, really, they did a good job of giving you the insight on the players. Maybe the Jalen Rose comparisons were a little bit out of left field, but I feel like they gave you a good rundown of what these players bring to the table.
No, I agree with the comparisons. Like, I saw clips of Olajuwon and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, so it's definitely interesting to just kind of see the old legends be compared to, you know, what could potentially be new ones.
It's interesting because you mentioned how the draft went and what went down, the comparisons. It's crazy because I feel like all of us expected Karl-Anthony Towns to go number one. Mm-hmm. And after that, it just seems like things flipped. D'Angelo Russell really set off a trend of you have no idea what's going on the rest of this draft. Guys, let's start, I guess, from there, from D'Angelo Russell. Obviously, Anthony Towns is going to be huge joining with Wiggins, but
yeah.
Where do you go from there, from the draft? What do you guys like? What do you guys not like about some of the picks and the way it all shaped out?
Dwayne, top it off, pal.
D'Angelo Russell, I mean, I feel like I've been singing his praises for a while,
yep.
Ever since he you know, finished off the NCAA tournament with Ohio State. This is a guy, an exciting playmaker. I mean, he put up a few triple-doubles in school, and I guess some of the knocks on him is that maybe he's not as athletic and maybe he wasn't playing against the highest competition last season, but I don't know. I think he's a playmaker that pair him up with Kobe, even if it's for 1 year, have him being nurtured, you know, have the young talent like even a Jordan Clarkson or Julius Randle who's coming back after that injury. I think things are looking up for the Lake Show.
Yeah, I agree, Dwayne. I think it's a good pick for them. You know, a little bit of a surprise going at number two. A lot of people had him slated at three. But a dynamic player, 6'5 for a point guard, good size. He can shoot the three. You know, he's definitely, from what I've read, he's emerging as a defender. His defensive game is coming along. So if they can nurture that, I think it's a huge pickup for the Lakers.
For the Minnesota Timberwolves, for me, I think that Towns is definitely an addition, and I actually tweeted this today that I think that they're the young three. We definitely had no doubt that Towns would go first, but I think that we were discussing this earlier about this young crop of number one first picks now in Minnesota and how that franchise hopes to develop them into, you know, what could be a successful franchise in the years to come. So it'll be interesting to see him. I actually had Okafor before Russell for the Lakers. However, I think that because the 76ers have tanked so much, it's good to have that talent now for sure.
Yeah, and you know what? I think a little bit of credit needs to go out to Coach Calipari and the Kentucky Wildcats program. They're definitely grooming some solid players out of that program. And just looking at Karl-Anthony Towns, man, this guy has some size. He's got a 7'3 wingspan, and he definitely has the real deal NBA center size. And I think he's going to fit in well in Minnesota. And I don't know what AK thinks about that, but Minnesota's definitely a team on the uptick and a team to watch.
You look at Minnesota, obviously they have Wiggins. Bennett, I mean, when he came over from Cleveland, mm-hmm. the rumor is that now he's available. He's not a guy that they're looking to build.
Looks like he'll be on the move.
Yeah, he'll probably be on the move. But you see Zach LaVine there. Obviously, they still have some veterans in Kevin Martin. I still think they're a few years away from contending in the West. Mm-hmm. And that's ultimately goes back to why I really like the pick of D'Angelo Russell. You look at the Western Conference, you look at the point guard play specifically, mm-hmm. Steph Curry, Russell Westbrook, even as far down as eighth, a guy like Drew Holiday. for the Pelicans. This is a position that it's so crucial in the Western Conference. It's become a scoring position. You need a guy there that could score the basketball, silky smooth, guard in transition. D'Angelo Russell is all of that and more. And not only that, he's working with the guy in Kobe who's going to make him earn it. I mean, there's no one better. Obviously, we know Kobe is a hard worker. We know he's had his whipping boys in the past. But if you're looking to get better, there's no one better than Kobe Bryant. Even guys like Andrew Bynum, young players that like that, even though they were injured for a lot of their careers, the best times of their careers, they flourished under that pressure. So I feel like this is a situation for him that's good. The Lakers, I thought, were huge winners at the draft with the three picks that they got. They ended up the 27th and the 34th pick.
Dude, did you eat your Wheaties this morning? You're on point. You're on fire over there.
Hey, man, I'm here. But, you know, there's other things. Jahlil Okafor was the guy down at number three. And
right.
The thing I heard on television was, oh, man, they've drafted the rookie of the year. I think what we all fail to forget is you have to take a long-term approach to this as well. I mean, Emeka Okafor was the guy who did win rookie of the year in his first year with the Got Milk, but nobody in their right mind now will say that I'll take Emeka over Dwight Howard, will they? No, right? So you got to look at the long-term development, and that's – I like this pick for the Lakers. I like that they need to change their franchise, and they understand this is the start towards that.
Great point there. And in terms of Jahlil Okafor, and we've mentioned this before off air, I actually think that Justice Winslow, who I'm going to speak of a bit later, is that I think he's the best Duke player in the draft. And I think that you mentioned that Emeka Okafor was the rookie of the year in his first season. I don't think Jahlil Okafor will be rookie of the year. I think that he has the potential maybe to be an all-star, maybe a few years in his down the line. But Justice Winslow is a steal for the Miami Heat at number 10.
At the 10 spot. Rookie of the year?
I don't think so, but I know what you were getting at. So, for our younger listeners, the Got Milk used to sponsor the Rookie of the Year. But anyway, we're
it
old.
Used
it's
to
okay.
moo, man. It used the box used to moo when you opened
okay,
it.
Okay, that's a I whole mean, other right, podcast.
Too much information. But
if you want to hear about the milk mooing, you can check out How the Sausage Gets Made by John Chidley Hill.
Milk
anyway.
From the Six.
Oh, wow. So, trying to get back on track.
Love you, Chud.
Justice Winslow going to the Heat at number 10, that's an incredible pickup. I mean, look, there's a few things that are up in the air in terms of Dwayne Wade, whether he's going to stay, whether they can re-sign Goran Dragic. Chris Bosh is there long-term, so you know you have that in place. So Pat Riley, he must be just ecstatic to know that he's got somebody who really, he's probably one of the only players in this draft who I feel can do everything well. I mean, he's an excellent defender. He has great size at 6'7", or 6'8", I believe. And, I mean, he's an incredible rebounder. He can score pretty much any which way
he
wants.
He's quick, too. He's a speedy little guy.
Incredible talent. Little guy. I'm excited to see what they do in Miami. I mean, this might be more motivation for Dwayne Wade and Goran Dragic to come back just for that reason.
Yeah, and you know what, Dwayne? You bring up a good point here with Winslow. And I look at the draft, and, you know, we've talked about the top three, and that was pretty much the consensus top three, even though D'Angelo went a little higher. I want to ask you guys what you think, you know, looking at some of these picks like Kaminsky at 9.
Yeah, I was just going to bring him up.
And Trey Lyles at 12. Who do you think really, you know, took a steal here? What team addressed the need and also got a great pick with something like a 10 or a 12?
I'm going to sit here with Dwayne. I think Justice Winslow is the guy in the draft. Duke has always been known for that development as well, just like schools like Kentucky. But Justice Winslow is a guy where I look at him and I see – the way he played in the tournament specifically,
right.
He reminded me a lot, and maybe this is too much, but I'm going to still go with it because this is the comparison I saw. He reminded me of that Jimmy Butler, Kawhi Leonard type energy and that athleticism. And when you pair that with a guy like Wade, a core like Dragic, Whiteside, Bosch, this is a steal at number 10 for them. Look, Frank the Tank, all due respect, I think he's going to be a good player.
Mm-hmm.
I think Justice Winslow has another level that he could potentially take it to. And now under the tutelage of a good coach like Spoelstra, a good program with Riley, I think that's going to be a great situation. Emmanuel Mudiay is another guy that really slipped. I thought he was a top five pick. He slipped down to 7. Denver, of course, is looking to move Ty Lawson. Don't know if you saw it, but Ty Lawson had a video with some vape, it looked like. Yeah, and then he talked about heading to Sacramento. It's funny because Sacramento maybe made the most bizarre pick of the lottery, taking Willie Cauley-Stein 6th, then you're just like, the guy is going to play behind Cousins. You're looking to replace Collison. You're looking at
Lawson. If Cousins stays.
Yeah, right? But why not now take the cheaper option in Mudiay, a point guard who is
agreed.
A
no,
legitimate
I'm playing
talent.
Devil's advocate over here.
Yeah.
And when I say that, I kind of look at the rest of the draft, and if I were to pick out a guy, and this might not be the sexy pick, but when I was watching the draft and they were talking about Sam Decker, I kind of looked at that pick for Houston as a as an energy guy. He's a playmaker, maybe add a spark off the bench for Houston, a hard-nosed guy that they don't necessarily have. And I know Houston's, you know, got all kinds of lineup issues, but I think Sam Dekker was a steal there at 18, and if he can really come into his body a bit, could be huge for Houston.
They're looking to move Ariza as well. They're facing a cap crunch, so you're looking at a guy that can take the three spot. Sam Decker's a guy that's he's good on both sides of the basketball, and I think that in that positionless lineup as well, that Kevin McHale employs Terrence Jones, Constance Papanikolaou at times. some of the guys
he's drawing comparisons to Gordon Hayward,
right? So. And he's a guy. He's a smart basketball guy.
Exactly. Yeah.
And he's gonna fit well no matter where he goes. And again, I think that's another very good situation. I think both of Houston's picks are very good situational picks.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. Stacey, what do you think?
No, for me, Kaminsky, big Frank. I think that he was a good addition to the Charlotte Hornets. I mean, I actually wanted him to be higher just because of you know how well he's played throughout the NCAA March Madness tournament.
Right.
He was named National College Player of the Year, and you know he averages 21 points, 12 rebounds.
Can shoot the three.
Yeah, and yeah, there's criticism about his athleticism, but I think that he's very versatile offensively. Mm. He is, you know, he shot 41% from the perimeter. He's fast, he's quick, great ball handling skills. So I think that he's going to be a huge addition to the Hornets. And the thing is that, you know, we were actually talking about this earlier as well with Klay Thompson. He was what, the ninth pick? Was it ninth? 11th, yes. Steph Curry was the ninth pick for the Warriors. So it'll be really interesting to see what Big Frank can contribute. And again, I completely agree with Ali in terms of D'Angelo Russell and just like his contribution to the Lakers. I think they definitely needed a big man. He has playmaking skills. He has a great three point shooting percentage and just that swagger, you know. I think it was a good choice to go with him instead of Okafor, and it'll be interesting to see Okafor again with the 76ers, especially because we all know that they weren't that successful these past couple of years.
Yeah, I think the talent in the top three, you know, we've talked about it, they're going to fit in with those teams and make an impact. And speaking of making an impact, do you guys think the 20th overall pick, DeLon Wright, by the Toronto Raptors is going to make any impact anytime soon?
Oh, boy, man.
Oh, boy is
DeLon Wright. I mean, it's not an oh, boy on DeLon Wright. I think DeLon Wright's going to be a good NBA player. I just look at everything that transpired. We look at the trade that cleared off that cap space. The Raptors.
Please specify the trade for the listeners.
Trade, for those of you that didn't know, and I'm sure all of you guys do, you guys are great with being up to date with sports. Gravis Vasquez was dealt to the Milwaukee Bucks. Him and his $6.5 million contract. He was dealt for a 2017 lottery protected pick that comes via the Clippers. It was the Clippers pick that the Bucks acquired, and the 46th overall selection that of course the Raptors used to draft Powell last night. Both of the guys that the Raptors got are defense first guys. Obviously, we know this is a team that was 25th ranked defensively, whatever it was. They were a bottom five defensive
It was
team.
Bad.
They were bad. Yeah, they were bad. They get a guy here, who's the brother of Darrell Wright. He's a point guard.
He's the brother of Darrell Wright.
Yep,
oh, okay,
the brother
cool.
of Darrell Wright.
So
a
he's
lot
coming.
Of size.
Okay.
You look at his mixtapes. He blocks. He defends. He can't shoot the basketball. And the thing is, there's a bit of an indifference on scouts on what his actual ceiling is. They don't know if he's going to be a career backup. That could be it.
Mm.
Is he a guy that can start? I don't know. The glorified comparison that I heard a lot was Jock Vaughn. The Spurs
Ouch.
Played for the
How
Spurs.
How about you were saying Tony Allen, too,
yep.
comparisons
Tony
to Tony Allen.
Tony Allen is one of the guys as well.
So with all that being said, AK, do you realistically think that this was a Dwayne Casey pick? Casey went to Mass Eye and was like, look, they brought Casey in to be a defense-first coach. Pound the rock. That was what they were about. They're going to be a defensive system team and, you know, push the ball. And now you kind of had Grievous, who was, you know, stuck out for his lack of defensive play, and now you see a pick like Wright, who's a defensive specialist. You think that's Casey in the ear of Masai or what?
I think it's a bit of both. Casey said that the decision was unanimous to take DeLon Wright.
There
were some good picks in my mind that the Raptors let go there. Specifically,
I agree.
For me, a Bobby Portis.
Okay, I was just
the guy at 22.
I was just gonna say, man, Bobby Portis. We were watching it last night, and I said to you guys earlier, they're describing this guy as a hard-nosed defender, all over the boards, and can play. And I'm looking at it like, that's what the Raptors needed. They needed some size and grit.
Yep.
And then they take a little guy. Mind you, he's supposed to be gritty as well. And I guess, you know, I got to trust Masai and Dwayne Casey. But again, I'm with you, man. It was a bit of a head-scratcher pick.
Now, on the flip side, I will say this. We talked about how important the guard position is.
Of course.
Kyle Lowry really, really struggled last postseason to guard a guy like John Wall. If this is your neutralizer in the backcourt, I can live with that. At the end of the day, this is a now pick. This kid is 23 years old. Right. He's not – I mean, you kind of know what he's going to be. His ceiling is not as extremely high as some of these other guys. He's still a useful NBA player, and that's the critical thing you look at. The other comparison that's been used by NBADraft.net is Jordan Clarkson, a guy that can give you a lot of energy, can score in transition. I'm okay with all of that. I think the key is going to be how can they develop his offensive game. So far, the staff hasn't shown me enough in working with young players
right.
in developing that offensive game, and I want to see that next step for DeLon Wright. I want to see him be able to shoot a respectable NBA percentage from three in the mid-range so they don't back off on the guy. And you have to – as it is, the Raptors are short on spacing on the floor
right.
with DeRozan, with Lowry. Yeah. Those are guys that don't shoot the three at a high clip. They're going to need some offense because they lose that now in Gravis Vasquez.
DT, what are you thinking about that pick, my friend? DeLon Wright, you a fan? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I tend to agree with the two of you guys. I mean, it's
– You sound I mean, torn. Look, you sound torn.
Because okay, well, I mean, I just want to highlight the trade itself first because right. I think that's huge to begin off.
Max yeah. cap space right there.
Because it's $6.6 million that's taken off the books right away.
And yep. Aldridge, everyone start dreaming.
Oh,
well,
gosh.
There you go. I mean, free agency is coming up, so I mean, they're going to need as much money as they can to retool this roster. So,
right.
First of all, getting rid of that cap space, or freeing up some cap space, and then getting a future, even if it's a lottery protected first rounder and a right. second rounder this season or for this draft, I think that was huge. Getting those two guards. I mean, look, Lou Williams is up in the air. Who knows if they bring him back, but. In line with that, I mean, if you're not able to replace him with somebody who has some sort of offensive talent, that could be a problem.
For
that,
sure.
That could be a problem. So they're going to have to see if they can hopefully develop these guys. I mean, who knows if you bring up the fact that he's 23 years old. He's not one of these young guys like a Tyus Jones who's, 18, 19 coming out of Duke. So he's a guy who has to start getting play time as soon as possible. So. It's a wait-and-see pick, I think.
Yeah, and he can pass the ball. That's one thing that he's shown he can pass the ball well. The Raptors needed that. They were a team that just didn't do that well last season. So he definitely fits in terms of the system.
And I've been hearing that he's a great pick-and-roll player. So yeah. If they can somehow install that with JV.
Hey, the most important skill in basketball is the pick-and-roll, a lot of people say.
Exactly. So I'd love to see that develop.
For me, I kind of feel the same way as Dwayne. I would have liked to see a bigger man, to be completely honest. Just in that sense. No, just because exactly. In our conversations from before, talking about JV, just seeing a big man because the Raptors definitely need that. It'll be interesting. I think he brings, versatility to the backcourt, a backcourt that might not have Lou at the end of the day, despite having this extra money with Grievous. With Grievous, he was defensively challenged, and so I think that, who knows, I think that DeLon will have the opportunity to kind of be molded into a point guard with like him at the two and Kyle Lowry at the one, who we'll see. And then maybe we'll see him with DeMar DeRozan. We can see how they play together. So I don't hate the pick, but I guess we'll see what happens. That's my personal opinion. So
Okay, let's move on to Powell now. Powell's a guy that he evolved into one of UCLA's leaders this year for that Bruin squad, a team that lost a lot of guys over the years, Zach LaVine, Kyle Anderson, guys like that. Another guy that 6'4", questions arise about his size, but we know his compete level is high. He's a shooting guard that doesn't shoot the ball as well. Again, guys, the Raptors go with a guy that's more defensive-oriented. This, to me, has Dwayne Casey all over it.
I completely agree. It just goes
it
to
smells
show
like it.
It goes to show how he still influences the organization very heavily.
Yeah, and I mean, they talked last year about needing guys that complement Casey's system, what Casey wants to implement. Last year, there were a lot of guys that were offense-heavy first. Heck, they were such an ISO-heavy offense that the Golden State Warriors wrote on their board, make them play one-on-one. That was literally their strategy.
It kind of looks like LeBron.
To beat, Norman Powell, he looks, in this NBA draft.net, he doesn't look very happy.
It's another defensive move, I think. And when you say it feels like a Casey pick, it definitely feels that way. And if you look at Powell and then you look at Wright, clearly the strategy was thinking defense first. And you brought up the stat of them being bottom feeders on defense. Clearly, that's what they're trying to address right now. And who knows what they address when chips fall with Lou. Mm-hmm. Will he stay? Will he go? I think at this point, if you look at the players that they're trying to bring in, they'll probably let Lou go just because, you know, you've got guys that can shoot, score the ball. Really, we need some tenacious, hard-nosed defense and some size.
Do you think what will happen in free agency? Who do you think they will get?
Oh, man.
That's okay.
Honestly, we need a whole other show for that.
This
man in the corner brought up LaMarcus, and, you know, in my dreamest of dreams, that sounds like a fairy tale. But who at this point, I don't think they'll land a massive, massive name like those big fish. Mm-hmm. I don't think they really want to mess with the chemistry too much with the squad. I see them bringing in someone else, but who knows? Obviously, I'd like to dream big. Gasol and those big names would be amazing.
That'd be crazy. Like I've said it before, you rely on ethereal chemistry and you're down to get burnt eventually.
Yeah.
Raptors run rudimentary offensive schemes, so for me, this is a start on the defensive end. I think the offensive end, they're still going to need work now to complement that as well with Gravis and potentially Lou leaving.
And
I just want to touch back on the draft.
Wrap it up. Canadian content.
That got to give a big shout out for the Utah Jazz becoming Canada's next favorite team. Yep. Trey Lyles, Saskatchewan raised. Trey Lyles going
Saskatoon, over there. Saskatoon, shout out Saskatoon.
Yeah, shout out to Saskatoon one time real quick. Olivier Hanlon, a guy I was cheering for from Quebec, played at Boston College. Really, really good pick there. I think Utah's getting a steal at number 42. And
agreed.
At 51, Satnam Singh. The Indian going down. Mark Cuban is going to be forever loved in India for that pick.
We've talked about how sometimes athletes look like other athletes. If you look at that pick by the Dallas Mavericks, bring up a picture of a catfish, put it next to his face. He looks exactly like a catfish. And that's no hate on the guy, but hey, maybe he's going to jump in the pool in the Pan Ams too.
All I can say, it's such a huge thing for India. What's happening there? To have a guy like Satnam Singh, obviously we saw Sim Buller last year.
Mm-hmm.
This is Satnam Singh is actually from India, raised in India to raise the level and the profile of basketball there. I mean, I won't harp on it too much, but it's something so special for South Asia as a whole. And congratulations to Satnam Singh. I really, really do hope that in 2-3 years' time, he actually gets a chance to play on the court and be a guy that can make an impact at the NBA level.
Speaking of guys looking to make an impact, some young NHL players looking to be drafted tonight. Sunrise, Florida, okay? You excited about that as much as you were excited about the NBA draft?
My goodness. As long as the Leafs are not taking Scott Thornton equivalent like they did in the 80s with their number 3 pick.
Ooh.
That, man, they have a chance here to pick up a legitimate franchise-type player. And we have a franchise-type player joining
us.
Matt Lowry, welcome to your
Matt
show.
Matt the Franchise Lowry.
It's good to be here, guys. Thanks for having me.
Matt, I know you're not going to pull a rabbit out of the hat here and predict anything other than Eichel and McDavid going 1-2. But after that, pal, what do you think's going to happen with that third pick?
Oh, man, it's it really is wide open. I mean, obviously, the 1 and 2 picks are locked. I mean, honestly, I think you have to really take the best player on the board at that time.
Always.
I mean, you look at the Coyotes and they've lost. I mean, they have a habit of losing puck moving defensemen and stuff like that. They lost Keith Yandel. Who knows how much longer Ekman Larson will stay there for? But for Phoenix, the best fit I think for their team is probably a guy like Noah Hanifin.
Right. Out of Boston College.
Here's a guy who can move the puck tremendously well. And there's always the debate of what serves a player best in development, whether it's OHL, WHL,
right,
versus college hockey. But I think for the Coyotes, Hanifin's probably the best fit. He can play right away. You can slide him right in there, and he's a good puck moving defenseman. Great ability with the stick, as far as stick checking goes.
Right.
And he is a stalwart back there. But I think what they will take, who they will take, is probably Dylan Strome.
Mm. So you're saying Phoenix will go with Strome, you think?
Phoenix will go with Strome. And so that leads us to pick number 4.
That does.
With Toronto. Now,
Our Maple Leafs.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. Our Maple Leafs, exactly.
Beloved Maple Leafs.
We can probably edit that music in there somewhere.
We will.
NFL
on Fox
theme song.
Sports
from the 6 editing team is top class.
Buddy.
So we're going to be good here.
Yeah, shout out Stace on the editing one time. But you know what, Matt? I agree with you. I think Hanifin is one of those solid two-way defensemen that realistically can add to any decor. I'm looking at his stats now. 6'3". He's 200 pounds. He's a big boy. And I personally think Phoenix might go with him. But who knows? I think realistically, the top five in the draft, you can't really go wrong. I know it's a deep draft this year, so I just, for Leafs fans, I hope that they take a center just to address the need up the middle. I know they got Frederick Gauthier coming up, but realistically, he's a third or fourth liner tops. And if they took Noah Hanifin, I understand the quality there, but you know, with Mitch Marner and Dylan Strome still on the board, I think it'd be folly for them not to take one of those guys.
So let me pose a question for you guys. Is there any possibility that the Leafs trade down?
I'm going to hop in here and say this. The Leafs draft board, according to James Myrtle, who put this out earlier, is Connor McDavid, Jack Eichel, who we know won't be there, and then Mitch Marner, Noah Hanifin, and Dylan Strome. I heard Hunter on the radio a couple of days ago. He was on with Jonas Siegel. He was on with Jim Taddy. He was really talking up Dylan Strome. To me, that might be somewhat of a smokescreen. I think the Leafs really are looking at Mitch Marner and Noah Hanifin. That's ultimately where the decision goes. Hunter's very, very familiar, Mark Hunter is, with Mitch Marner, having had him down in London.
The connection there is huge.
The connection there is something that's massive. And I think Mitch Marner is truly one of the most skilled guys in this draft. The only thing is his size. People don't know if he's going to be able to stick down the middle. We've also heard, along with that, on the board for the Leafs, Ivan Provorov, Mikko Rantanen, and Matthew Barzal. Provorov is a guy that people say is the most skilled defenseman over Hanifin in this draft. He's a smaller guy, but very offensively skilled. And I feel like that's a guy that can fit into Babcock's system.
And I was just going to say, it'd be nice to have Marner, but you already have Nylander sitting there in the wings. Granted, you know, the size is a bit of an issue with him as well, but you just mentioned it, Provorov. I can really actually see the Leafs taking him fourth overall if he's still standing there, and I'm pretty sure he will be. But you look at him play in the WHL, and that's a league that's predominantly run by defensemen. That's where their bread is buttered in terms of development. But
I like that. I like that, Matt. Well done.
But Provorov is, like, you watch this guy skating. He looks like Drew Doughty mixed with, like, Nicholas Lidstrom. Like, his like, mental, like, his acuity for the game, like, his know-how is off the charts. And watching him skate, and I don't want to say it, but he looks like a certain number four in Boston that used to play over there. But he's a tremendous skater. I'll say that. But I think the Leafs really will pick Provorov. And if they do, I'm okay with that because you have Morgan Riley. And after that, the defensive depth is really not there.
It's funny you said you bring up Provorov because I mentioned it to AK. I feel like that's a very Toronto Maple Leafs type pick. And I don't know what that really means, but I look at him and I look at his stats from last year, and I think what jumps out for me is 14 points in 19 postseason games and took the Brandon Wheat Kings to the WHL Championship Series. So clearly this kid is not fazed by the big stage. Mind you, WHL is not necessarily the biggest of stages. But
Hey, shout out Brandon one time.
Yeah, the Brandon Wheat Kings, you know, solid Shen connection there. But anyway, I could definitely see even Provorov wearing the blue and white. With that being said, you know, I already mentioned that I think the need is at center. So I'm excited for this draft, though. I don't think I've ever been more excited for the draft. Maybe it's because of the top-tier talent at the top, or maybe it's just because the need for that Toronto Maple Leafs team is just so dire right now that this draft means more to them than most.
This is everything. And for the Leafs, they've talked about trying to acquire a second-round pick as well. Tyler Bozak is a guy that's been bandied about.
Someone will be on the move.
Right. And if you're a Leafs fan, honestly, this is going to be the most fun you've had. This is going to be more fun than the season tonight. So if you're a Leafs fan, hey, go ahead. Go out. Enjoy it. You deserve this. This is your moment. Take it in, cherish it, and just hope your team continues on this development path.
Well, guys like Bob McKenzie, sorry, Dwayne, to cut you off. Guys like Bob McKenzie have come out and said that the Leafs are fully expected to be, if not the most active team on trade day today. So I'm just waiting for Twitter to start blowing up with something. But what'd you have to say there, Dwayne? Sorry about that.
No, it's all right. I was just going to mention, like, you brought up the whole thing with the trades. I mean, look, there are some big names that could possibly move. I mean, the likes of Patrick Sharp, TJ Oshie.
Yep.
Just throwing out names. I mean, we're recording
Phil
here
Castle.
On a exactly.
Those are huge names.
We're recording here on a Friday morning where we've already seen a trade with the Ottawa Senators.
Right. Yep.
You know, they've already swapped their goalkeeper. So I mean, what do you guys think? Do you think that we're going to see some of these big names move on?
Oh man. What a question.
You're in the hot seat now, pal.
No, the Kessel situation, it's like, look, I mean, yeah, the guy comes in out of shape every once in a while and stuff like that, but, like, I mean, he's exactly what you expect him to be. He's a 30-goal scorer every single year. You can go through any roster. Look at how many guys score 30 goals every single season.
He's a top 10 scorer.
Patrick Sharp is one of those guys. He just happens to be. But, no, I mean, I don't think Kessel's going to move. And if you're gonna trade Kessel for a salary dump from another team or, like, you know, diminutive assets, then it's not even worth your time. Kessel will come back, and he'll play hard for a coach that he wants to play for.
You don't retain salary on one of the top 10 scorers in the NHL. It's just, I agree with you, Matt. It's something that you don't do. You don't undersell this guy. And Brendan Shanahan has said, there's no rush to trade Phil Kessel. You maximize that return. No matter what, this team is rebuilding. This team is retooling. I mean, Bob McKenzie stated, I mean, that it might not be the case. But, I mean, this team, it's a process. No matter what, whether it's retooling, rebuilding, obviously, a lot of us fans prefer the rebuilding, and I speak for the Toronto Maple Leafs fans. I know how you guys are feeling. I mean, I'm not a guy. Obviously, I don't have an emotional attachment to the team, but I can see what the fans have been through. They deserve this to be done right, and giving away Phil Kessel would not be something that's progressive in that process.
You bring up the emotional tie to this team, and it's the one thing that I've tried to separate since being in this program is how passionate and biased I was for the Leafs. I was the biggest defender of Kessel the whole time he came over. You know, the whole Sagan thing, this and that, Dougie Hamilton. It's like, Phil is as advertised. He's a sniper. People are like, oh, he needs the hit and penalty kill. That's not what he does. He is a sniper. He's like Ilya Kovalchuk. He pots goals. Yeah, he might not be the best all-around player, but he is what he is. You get him to put the puck in the back of the net, and that's it. So when people say, you know, trade him for picks, trade him just for cash incentives, I'm like, this team still needs players. Kessel has been their best player every year. In six seasons, he has over 135 goals. He's led the team in points almost every year. And, yeah, does he drag his ass sometimes? Is he not in shape? Maybe. But
when
he's still
– last time? Sorry to cut you off.
No,
go ahead. Was the last time Phil Kessel was injured, though?
There's that, you know? But there's also he's performing on a team that – he's playing with Tyler Bozak. And, yeah, Bozak has maybe elevated his game a little bit playing with Phil. Adding JVR in there brings some more points to the line. But he's playing on a bad team. And he's still putting up, like Matt said, 30-goal seasons. And I just think fans in Toronto need to be a little bit more patient with Phil. Mind you, if you can get the right players for him, this is a rebuild, and do it.
And that's why it's interesting, because the Leafs have a decent amount of young talent. And you could potentially, after tonight, have two centers. Obviously, they're going to be young. But even you wonder, even for their development, what it does if you give them a year with a guy like Phil Kessel,
right,
for a William Lina,
oh, yeah,
Nylander, for a Mitchell Marner, for a Dylan Strome. It's not all negative. It's not like everyone's looking at this as the glass is half empty. Right now, the way I look at it, the Leafs are in a good position in terms of their rebuilding.
Yeah.
They have the leagues covered with the amount of talent in their front office that they've taken. This is really the night where we see what that front office can do, and we see that first blueprint and that first step of the plan.
And you know what? Before we wrap everything up, I do have a couple questions for our guests here. They've definitely are looking to address the center, but what we haven't, and you know, we've talked about them adding D. What we haven't talked about is the net. Bernier came out and said he wants a long-term deal. He wants to stay with the Leafs. They still have James Reimer on contract. Are those the guys that are going to get it done for this team moving forward? Is Bernier the guy? Are they going to deal someone? What do you think, Matt?
I don't necessarily think they're going to deal someone. I think in filling the holes in tonight's draft, you can kind of change the whole perspective on the goaltending situation. I think Bernier, honestly, I think he will get that deal. I think he'll get the money. The market just doesn't have anything right now in terms of goaltending. There's nothing out there. One name that kind of comes to mind maybe is someone like a Devan Dubnyk.
Interesting.
I like that. A guy who's kind of like been hot as of late, kind of ran out of steam late in the season. But someone who's definitely available in terms of having a deal being made. And then in filling the other holes, like I mentioned, how that changes the goaltending situation. There's a player. I mean, let's not forget the Leafs have two picks in the first round here.
Huge.
Which is massive. And I think that second pick, albeit might be a bit of a reach, but a guy that's going to be playing for Boston College next year, I believe, in 2015, Colin White,
okay,
who's a centerman. And
you heard that name here first, everybody.
Colin White is a centerman, and he's in part of the U.S. developmental team. But anyways, this guy lit up the U-18s against Canada, scored a hat trick against them. Basically, you know, a point-per-game guy at the very least.
All right. So you think the Leafs might take him there?
I think they might take him there. They'll let him marinate a little bit. He's supposed to go a little bit later, but
center
I think,
as well.
Exactly. But if you're looking for, you know, if you want that next Jack Eichel, why wait? You know, if you know the Leafs don't want to have another season like this, obviously. So why wait? Put yourself in that situation. Just take the guy early. He's not going to play until college, until next season. No one's going to know about him. So that's a steal. I think that's going to happen. Is Colin White going to the Leafs?
Yeah, buddy. Hey, you're bringing up some good points, and that's exactly why we had you on. It's exactly why we had Stacey Deshaun on. Thank you both for hopping on. Episode 18 from the hottest podcast in the city, Sports from the Six. On behalf of Dwayne, the Body Turner, and AK, where's my 20 nuggets, Rav Johnny?
Stay blessed.
This is Flip Livingstone signing out.